Okay. I guess we could then move on, as indicated, to agenda item 5.3. This agenda item was asked to be left open by Norway. And I'd just like to call on Norway now for the response to agenda item 5.3. Norway.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and please allow me to give the floor to Dr. Øen.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I shall make some comments to intervention that was made by the Norwegian Society of Protection of Animals and NOAA for Animal Rights yesterday in the NGO presentations, where where it was referred to a film that has been shown here in Agadir, and where NOAA say that we have consulted with external veterinarians, and based on the footage, the most likely scenario is that a whale was indeed struck and lost. And this is from a film that I first saw a few days ago. It's a film that pretends to show a hunting situations where a Norwegian with the Norwegian whaling vessel, and where the vessel, according to one of the filmmakers, the director of the Norwegian Society for the Protection of Animals, in his comments goes even farther. He judged this to be an inhumane hunt of a minke whale, and that the whale, and I quote, might have been suffering from horrific harpoon wounds for up to 2 hours. As I mentioned, this film has been shown here in Agadir at the press conference last week. However, no members of the Norwegian delegation to the IWC had the honor of to be invited, and I have studied the film at the internet version, and this, I will shortly repeat what's in it. I probably everybody has not watched it. This footage shows a clipping of recordings from four different incidents, where two typical, I will say, 60 to 65 feet long wooden Norwegian minke whaling vessels, which are fishing vessels that are rigged for whaling in the season, where from one of the vessels is a harpoon fired with a grenade mounted at the minke whale. The harpoon clearly does not hit the whale, but enters the water about 8 to 10 meters before it reaches to the whale. Shortly after, the whale is making a splash with the tail and dives. When after this footage scene, it's the hunting scene is disrupted. And in the second scene, we see the boat sailing away. The next scene shows the vessel, the same vessel, which had probably come back, I don't know, but it's a hunting situation again. And this time it fires a harpoon that hits a minke whale, and the detonation kills the minke whale instantaneously. And the comment, the director that comments the film, he acknowledged that. He say this is 2 hours later. So that's where the 2 hours suffering come from. And the last part of the footage is not the hunting scene, but it's where a whale has been frenched on the boat. They are taken on across the boat on the deck to be frenched or to undertake the slaughtering, and we see that the carcass, after it has been, the meat has been taken away, is dropped into the sea again, and where it becomes food for fish, birds, and other marine organisms. But it's important to tell that this is quite another boat which is put into that film. The footage indicate that it's recorded from a very far distance, probably from ashore. And it's claimed that they have 22 minutes of recordings. But the very important course of events that takes place on board the vessel after the first harpoon is fired are of unknown reasons not presented in this film. These few minutes of recordings are of great value to judge and clarify the situation. The course of events that take place on board there tell people with knowledge of minke whale hunting whether the harpoon has hit or not. Because when a harpoon has been fired, the boat immediately stopped moving or stopped the engines and the propeller. And if a whale is hit, people come down from the barrel and start winching the animal in. And when the animals come to the boat, they are ready. If they are not 100% sure that the animal is dead, they will be ready with a rifle, which I fortunately not need to use more than in a few cases. When, if the harpoon miss, they immediately stop to prevent the rope which is attached to the harpoon should be cut by the keel, or the harpoon line should be entangled in the propeller. And they start howling. And when the harpoon comes close to the boat, they are howling very carefully because they have a grenade in the tip of the harpoon. And therefore they are lifting up the harpoon, they unscrew the grenade and secure it, and then they reload the gun and put the harpoon grenade back on the harpoon, and they often start hunting again or trying to follow after the whale which they have missed. So I think that would have been a part of the film that should have been shown. However, as I've been working with Norwegian whaling boats and other, also in other countries, for almost 30 years, I think I can conclude without knowing what exactly happened after the harpoon had been fired. And I will explain why. And I will also say in the very beginning that this whale was not hit either by harpoon or touched by the grenade. The grenade is mounted on the tip of the harpoon. It's the first thing that enters the whale when it hits. And it has a triggering system that releases the detonation when it penetrates. or if it gets hatched to the whale, or something else. These grenades are individually numbered, so we can recognize whether they have been used or not, which grenade that has been used on which whale, as they are also noted in the logbook when the harpoon gun has been fired. Simultaneously, the independent electronic system, the blue box, surveillance system, also logs the shot. And I haven't seen the logbook myself as I'm here, but I need to trust the people that has controlled it. And according to them, the grenade that was used in the first firing was also used when it killed the whale on the second firing. And as a grenade cannot detonate twice, it's clearly that this grenade that didn't detonate at the first shot. I have also other indications. In my early studies on whaling, I needed to learn how weapons and the equipment function. And I needed to know much about harpoons, because that's the equipment, or that's the tool that brings the grenade to the whale and secure the whale so it doesn't sink after it is dead. And we made shooting trials with harpoons on several distances with several types of harpoons, and also the harpoon that is used for the harpoon grenade. And the trials show the following. If you fire at the distance of about, let's say, 70 meters, 70, 80 meters, which is about the firing distance here, the harpoon hits the water, and the first 3-4 meters, it continues straightly forward, and it sinks about, in average, 25 to 30 centimeters per meter. That will say, when it's traveled 4 meters, it's about a meter under the surface. But the water has high viscosity, and that breaks a projectile very fast when it travels through the water. So it loses speed very fast. And after 4 meters, it starts sinking, even if it's traveling forward. So after 8 to 10 meters, like in this case, if it reaches 10 meters, it's several meters under the surface. And if we look at the film, the whale was still on the surface when the harpoon had reached there. So it couldn't have hit, because it was far too low in the water to hit the whale. But the whale reacted with a splash with its tail. And that's a natural reaction if the whale is scared. I know that from the time I darted whales, minke whales, from helicopter. And this is that situation that was interpreted as a hit with the harpoon. How is this film? You can wonder why they are making a film like that. I cannot tell that, but I have some ideas. It's important to find some incidents where a whale is hit and injured and is suffering to show to the public. But this is very rare in the Norwegian hunt. So you are not successful every summer to find a whale that is mishit. So what happened here is you have a situation where you fire a shot. You might suggest that it hits, and that might be for inexperienced people. You might suggest that this is a reaction of a hit, okay? But there is no whale in the end of the line. So you make suggestions that the whale is hit, wounded, and it starts to swim, and they don't find it. Or it goes down and comes up, and they find it after 2 hours. And the film is made to fit these suggestions. And then, when it fits your suggestions, then you can make allegations. And that's what have they done in this case. Mr. Chair, I tried to explain this to the representatives of Norwegian Society and for Protection of Animals and NOAA, who's here present at the meeting yesterday morning, to try to avoid this unpleasant and unfortunately situation, and where we also could have saved time for all of you. But they were not interested in listening to me, and they gave all these allegations, and we had to respond. I ask for excuse for that. I hope that the representatives for these two organizations are so respectful, but I have several doubts that they will make an excuse to the whaling crew and the captain and their families, because they have had a hard time because of this film. This type of hidden in the bushes documentaries are very seldom successful. Mr. Chairman, I have been attending meeting here in IWC now for 28 years in annual meetings. I have never heard a story like that before. This is the first time. I'm leaving very shortly. I would thank you very much, Morocco, for a wonderful time here. And I thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you very much, Norway. Any comments? Japan?
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. Well, thank you very much, Norway, for your presentation. To respond to that earlier statement by the NGO. Well, as to the NGO's statement, there are other we don't have the opportunity for us to also respond to what the NGO had said. So let me make a comment on that. Yesterday, one of the NGOs said, of course, each person in the party has a different position and view. So some constructive comments were made by some NGOs. That's a fact. But there are some of the comments which were not relevant. And the chair said, it should be a positive statement. It should not actually criticize the individuals or each country. And some of the statements were not in conformance to the guideline or code of conduct suggested by the chair. And some of the statements were against the facts, reality. That's unfortunate. Of course, giving the floor to the NGO is something that we have no objection at all. We support this opportunity to give the floor to NGOs. But we like to re-urge NGOs to conform to the rules, code of conduct of the IWC. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Japan. I see no other comment. Thank you very much.